Hi, welcome to this week's edition of the Center Court Podcast. I'm Travis Lazarczyk, joined alongside Drew Bonifant, as always. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, the weather's stopping everything around here, but it can't stop us, right?
No, I mean, you had a nice drive through this to get here. We appreciate your dedication to the team.
Somehow, some way, I made it in.
All right. Our guest this week is Coney High School boys basketball coach TJ Maines. TJ, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the style of play you guys have gone with this year, kind of raising some eyes with the five in, five out, yeah. Almost like Grinnell in college, except you're not playing at, you know, such, you know, chuck a three at all costs kind of tempo.
Yeah, it's interesting. I kind of always in the back of my mind, I thought about maybe trying this to play this way. In my first few years at Coney, you know, personnel didn't really dictate having to sub quite as frequently. We always had a couple of guys might have a little bit of size. And this year we lack kind of the size to play maybe a little bit more traditional. We have a couple of kids that are 6'2", 6'3", but they're real thin. Guys, we've got to spend time in the weight room to get stronger. So, you know, I was exposed to this style. You know, I was an assistant at Colby with Dave Arsenault, who was the inventor of it from Grinnell College. And Dave used to come out to Pine Tree Basketball Clinic. And I actually coached his son, Dave Jr., who's right now acting as the head coach out at Grinnell. When he was at camp, it was interesting because like he brought to camp these things like at the time we were calling them Euros, where now everybody knows that it's dribble drive kind of when you fill behind the basketball,
sure.
Teaching reverse pivots, on passes off of penetration, no one was doing that. Teaching the bunny hop when you shoot, no one was doing that, and it really really innovative stuff and. You know, when I took over at Thomas and became the head coach there, we went to the dribble drive offense in our third year, and it kind of changed our program completely because we were able to recruit the kind of guards needed to play that and the shooters. I find myself doing the Euros and the fills that
right.
That Coach Arsenault had talked about. And, you know, it's a type of offense that I'm really comfortable with. You know, it fits our, you know, my belief is that there's, for a long time, coaches have kind of felt like, well, I'm not coaching if I'm not calling out a play or we don't have a set every single time. And it just goes against everything that I grew up with playing under my father and even with Coach Whitmore at Colby playing for him and coaching underneath him that, you know, you teach kids how to play and then you let them play.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sure.
You know, I'm fine. The feedback I'm getting is how refreshing it is to see teams score 60, 70 points and not have games in the 30s and 40s. And that's a positive. We just got to find ways to win games so our record reflects kind of the positive things that I'm seeing. You know, that's the genesis of it was just our – it kind of lent itself to the players that we had. You know, we don't have to be married to it. I don't have to do it next year or the year after or anything else. We'll make decisions based on it, get feedback from the kids at the end of the season. You know, but it is interesting. I think people like – kind of watching and saying, let's see what happens. We've adapted throughout the year, and we went from taking 53s of our first five games, I think we took 53s three times. We haven't done that since. And we're pretty, right now we're pretty good. I think our low end's like 24 threes taken, and our higher end's about 40, 45.
Yeah, when I saw you against Mesolonsky, you were very patient that night.
Yeah, for us.
Yeah.
We're not as patient as some other teams, but for us, certainly we had a little bit more patience. And I think defensively they kind of dictated that a little bit.
Sure.
But it was, it's a fun way to play. You know, guys like it. We spent a lot of time on the offensive end in practice. And, you know, I think for most kids that's what they'd prefer to do. You know, guys are anxious to get to practice. I'm finding, like, our sub-varsity kids, JV freshman kids, are coming into the varsity practices, waiting around, you know, watching, getting shots up on their own. While we're going through our stuff, and they're going through an hour and a half practice. They all seem to like this way to play. And it's fun. Like, I just go back to that. Basketball shouldn't be – you shouldn't feel like it's a chore to go to practice. It shouldn't be a grind when you're in high school. It needs to be upbeat. In my mind, it needs to be upbeat. It needs to be something that's a positive experience, something that lends itself to being a great teammate. And playing this way does.
Yeah, I mean, I would think if you look around at some of the good teams in the area, there aren't a lot of teams that just take the air out of the ball and just slow it down too much. Most teams have a good blend of of up tempo to their game, and just some excitement on offense. And
yeah, it's gotten better. Certainly, when I was recruiting at Thomas, it drove me crazy because I felt like
sure.
the pace was so slow compared to what we were trying to accomplish at Thomas, and it really led most of our recruiting ended up being out of state or just Portland South. Because those teams tended to play a little bit more that resembled the way we'd want to play in college. That being said, Levi Barnes and Justin Murray both had pretty good careers out of here, out of Central Maine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be really happy if Maine basketball gets back to let kids play, let's get up and down the floor, and open things up a little bit more.
Yeah, I want to see some more full court pressure, 84 minutes of just. Yeah. Madness.
Yeah,
84 feet of madness, I should say.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 32 minutes and 84 feet. Yeah, and it's, that's the thing. Like, it's just so much more exciting to watch. And, and I get it. Some people don't have the personnel to do it. Some coaches that don't have any background in it, and it's uncomfortable. What's funny is, I think there are some people who maybe don't know quite as much, who sit there and say, oh, well, that's just easy. They're not those kids. They're not being coached or whatever. Because it looks like at times it's just helter-skelter.
Yeah, right.
And at times it is. But it takes a lot to get kids to be able to play fast and at a tempo consistently that's up-tempo. I mean, you have to work on it a lot. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes, to me, it's a heck of a lot easier to say, okay, we're going to run whatever patent offense you want to run, and you're going to screen and make kids robots, and you're going to screen here, then you're going to look for the ball here, and then you're going to do this, rather than teaching them how to read and react to what the defense is giving you. And I hope that's what we're doing. I feel like that's what we're doing. I know since I've gotten in Augusta, the youth program's gotten much better. We're getting good coaching at the lower levels. Kids are into it. Kids are taking shots. They come to the games. They love their guys flying up and down the floor. That's what they want to do. And, it's a good culture, I think, to build on.
Well, plus, I would think, how often do you see teams that don't exactly play that way all the time, but they get to the end of a close game with each other, and the game kind of breaks into that style where, you see a slow-paced game, but it suddenly has a fast-paced last few minutes as teams are just trying to...
Gets a little more hectic.
Yeah, so that style, it kind of helps to have a team playing that way all the time so that they're not caught off guard if the game starts to slip into that.
Sure. There's certainly some truth to that. And I think that's part of the goal of playing this way is making people uncomfortable. You have to – we practice at this pace all the time. And so it's for us, it's normal. It's what we're comfortable doing. And we turn the ball over too much still. We're used to kind of getting up and down, getting quick shots, attacking the offensive glass, pressuring after misses. I think for teams that aren't used to doing it, it can speed them up, make them uncomfortable, hopefully get them to turn it over. The hope is in the second half you get into their legs a little bit. All those are positives. And on the other side of that is because our guys are used to playing quick, one of our challenges at the end of games when you need to get into something, get into a shot, get into a little bit more of a slowdown atmosphere because you're running clock, we've struggled with that. And I look at the Gardner game, the last one we had, where, we got two good looks, got two offensive rebounds, got the ball kicked back out at 33 seconds, and then get the ball into Jordan's hands. Now, and our choice was you call a timeout or you play through. And, my philosophy has always been you let kids play. You don't let the defense set. If you've got the best player and the ball in his hands, you let it go.
Sure.
Jordan's the best player. Well, if we run out of bounds set at 7 seconds, we're looking to get the ball into his hands anyway. He's already got the ball in his hands. Let's go. And, he made the decision to go to a pull-up. I would have loved to have seen him cross over and go hard back to his right because the whole lane was available. Mm-hmm. But in that split second, they did a pretty good job on a hedge. And, and it cost us. Next time maybe we call that timeout. But we didn't do a great job of getting into something that was a little bit more structured for him to go, and that's on me. So, that's something that we're continually working on.
Coach, you guys are 5-7 right now, 6 games to go. Kind of break down the remaining schedule and, what's going to happen for Coney to hold on to one of these playoff spots.
Sure. With 6 games left, we're at Brunswick. Home of Lawrence this week. So Brunswick, we're supposed to play tonight, got bumped to tomorrow night. Then we're home with Lawrence on Friday. Then we're at Brewer next Thursday. Home with Meso on Saturday. And then have at home with Camden, and then at Erskine to end the season. So, you know, we've played all of them except for Brunswick. We've played the other five already. Brunswick's a very good team.
Sure.
You know, Benoit kids come out of nowhere kind of for them. Was mostly a JV kid last year. He was one of the leading scorers in A-South. Was a very good player. And Corbin Teal's a big kid. Lawrence beat us at their place. You know, and I know Jason will have them ready, and they need wins just like everybody else does. You know, Brewers, I think, a spot ahead of us. We beat them in the opener. But they've got two kids that didn't play very much against us that are now playing large roles. We've got at least one guy didn't play a lot against them, didn't play at all against them, is playing a lot more now. So that'll be a very different game probably than the first one was. You know, on Meselonsky, you know, we had a 5-point lead at their place to start the fourth quarter and scored 6 points in the fourth, and can't do that. And Nate Violet, I thought, really showed that he's one of the better players around
right. In
that fourth quarter against us. And so, you know, hopefully we're going to figure out a couple of things that I felt that we did not as well as we should and get a W there. And then with Camden and Erskine, you know, we beat Camden at their place and played early on one of the best games we played offensively all year. And then with Erskine, you know, that was a, you know, we lost them right before Christmas. We took 83 shots. We turned them over 37 times. You would think you'd win that game.
That's usually the formula.
Yeah, and we didn't. And they showed great poise, made shots at the end. Sewell made some nice big baskets for them, and we didn't make any free throws. And they went to the line almost 30 times more than we did. And you know, so my hope is that we'll be ready to go here for those last six. And as far as getting in the playoffs, you know, we just got to take care of what's in front of us each game. We don't talk to the guys about, hey, you need to win this one or this one or this one.
Right.
You need to go out, and we feel like we can win any game that we step on the court to play. We also have proven that we can lose any time we step on the court. So we just kind of go out, play the way that we play. You know, worry about a couple of things with each team, make sure we identify shooters and rebounders, and go from there.
With these six games remaining, with the exception of wins. I mean, is there anything you're looking for out of this team? Because, like you said, it's been kind of an up and down where you're proving you could beat everybody. You beat Hamden this year,
yep. Only
team to do it. But the Lawrence and
you know, what we're looking for is consistency in a few areas. Number one is, you know, not fouling 80 feet from the basket. That's against Lawrence. That's one of the things that killed us. They were in the 1-1 in the first quarter and the third quarter before it was over. Reached far too much, made silly fouls. It's something that we preach on all the time, practice. Like, we do it in practice, we run. If they make one of those dumb fouls, they get their hands in the backcourt. We got to continue to get better at that. Shooting the basketball and scoring with a consistency. So one of the things you would notice if you looked at our box scores, in a lot of games, we have a quarter where we have 9, then we have a quarter where we have 27. And there's got to be – it's great to have those runs, but we've got to have a little bit more consistency quarter to quarter and during the game. And then the last thing is continually having a really aggressive mindset when we rebound the basketball. Games where we've rebounded a third of our misses this year, we're 5-1. So it seems to me like anytime we win, we've offensive rebounded one third of our missed shots. So that's something that we need to continue to do.
Your conference, the Kennebec Valley Athletic Conference, is tight as usual again this year. It looks like, you know, Madomic Valley's kind of separated themselves a little bit, and to an extent Hamden as well. How do you see the rest of this thing shaking out? Particularly 6 through 10 is very tight right now.
Yeah, and even at 5, Gardner at 5, they don't have an easy schedule. And Meselonsky's sitting there at 9, and they have, I looked at it last night, I think they have like 5 teams that are ahead of them that they're playing. And so, I mean, it wouldn't be shocking to see Meselonsky creep all the way up. You know, I think you're right, and Madomic and Hamden very likely will end up 1-2. Oceanside looks like a pretty solid 3. And they don't play too many. Oceanside only had a couple of games left against A North teams. Like, they're playing more that B South schedule. And so that's different. And same thing with Skowhegan. He has a bunch of games still with Class B schools, so you don't know what's going to happen there. But I think it's really tight. Like, we don't play Nokomis. We don't play Skowhegan. We don't play Oceanside. We don't play Waterville. We don't play Madomic. So, you know, unless we go out and scout, I really don't know what's right. going on with them. I know the coaches from the summer league for the most part that we run, and I know there's a lot of really good coaches. I know the coaches are getting their teams ready to go. You know, and it's not going to surprise me if we were as high as four, or we were, you know, it would surprise me if we're not higher, seven or higher. I guess I'd say that because I really expect us to win some games coming down the stretch. But, you know, we got to win games to get in. Camden's got four wins. They're only like 7 points out of a playoff spot. They're in 11th. They have to play us. You know, and Jeff's, you know, he's as good a coach as there is in the state. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's an interesting end of the season where you've always had Hamden kind of being the top dog. This is wide open. I think the tournament's wide open. It would not surprise me. Like Oceanside last year was a 4 or 5 seed, went in and won. That wouldn't surprise me if that happened again.
Have there been any, when you look at how the league has shaken out, has there been a team or two that has surprised you in terms of how they've been able to do, or has it pretty much panned out the way?
No, I think Nokomis is a team that I don't see him very much in the summertime. I know Ryan does a terrific job. He's a really good JV coach at Meso. And I think for me, that might be the one that I'm like, wow, you know, they've played really well. Like, Hamden's not a surprise. Mm-hmm. Their JV team beat us by 60 last year. So I kind of knew yeah. that they're just going to reload. Like, I know they lost a lot of kids, but, you know, Russ has a program up there. I mean, they have two freshmen that would start for everybody. One of them does start for them, but the other one's really good, too. And they would literally, I think both those kids would start on any team in our league.
And he's got Ian McIntyre, one of the better post players in the conference, if not the state.
Yeah, he's been the best player we've played against. He had 32 and 21 at their place and 20 and 21 and 13 at our place. Yeah, he's the real deal. And so, yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt, right, when you got a great player like that. And that's the thing. I think there's some really strong individual players. Madomic's got two really, really strong guys. You know, Messalonsky's got two guys, really, that kind of push them along. Scout Hegan's got some kids that can really play and guys that can shoot the basketball. You know, Oceanside still has Ray. You know, and Roddy for us has been fantastic all year. So, you know, I think all the teams, everybody's kind of got at least one guy that can really play, which makes it fun.
You had a couple great games against Gardner this year, and
that's got perspective. Well, yeah,
well, entertaining games.
Yes,
we'll say that.
We
right,
did, we did.
Less for you than it is for the average fan.
Yeah,
got me thinking about some of the great rivalries. And you mentioned that Coney's not playing Skowhegan or Waterville anymore.
Yeah.
But what are some of the rivalries you guys are kind of developing now?
Well, I think Gardner certainly is there, but
right.
we just started playing them again last year. It was the first time in whatever it was, 8-10 years that they played, because they had been in B, and then the reclassification put us together. You know, and last year we won a 3-point game and a 1-point game against them. This year they beat us basically at the buzzer by 2 in the first one, beat us by 1 in the second one, where we had a lot of chances, opportunities to win. And then they killed us in the playoffs last year. It was kind of a low point for us, certainly. And that's been fun, kind of having that. That atmosphere in the gym was great.
Sure.
You know, both times, all 5 times we played them, and that's been really fun. And I think for Coney, you know, Erskine's a little bit of rivalry. I mean, I think, like, they had more fans than we did when we played them at our place. You know, but that's still kind of newish
right.
to Coney, I think. But I don't know. Like, it's not really any, like, our guys in football, Lawrence – is always a big one. Our guys get up to play
definitely.
Lawrence quite a bit, I think, because of the crossover with the athletes. But it's not like, you know, when I was a kid, I grew up in Bath, and you wanted to beat Brunswick. And, mm-hmm. You know, my father coached at Morse for 11 years, and he went like 24 or 25-0 against Brunswick during that time. Beat him in the playoffs a couple of times. Never lost to him once. And that's when I lost to Gardner. He's like, you know, I never once lost to Brunswick. Thanks, Dad. But, you know, there's really not. Our rivals when I grew up were Waterville and Lawrence. Like, those are the two teams that were also really good that we played, even though it was an hour away plus from Bath. You know, those are the other two teams. We were the best program, and Lawrence was the best program. Waterville was right there. And, you know, Waterville Morris used to be played at Colby.
Yeah, well, when I first came here, Waterville and Lawrence played each other at Colby, and the place was absolutely packed.
Packed, yeah.
They didn't bring in those side bleachers, you know, to put on the baseline, and
it
was it's a fantastic atmosphere. That's just it's gone now.
Yeah, and it's I don't know. There's a lot of layers to all that. But you're right. I think just the involvement, community involvement, the amount of kids that play in programs.
Right.
You know, we're all struggling to get freshman teams, full freshman and full JV teams. I mean, it's hard for me. I've got 10 freshmen on the freshman team. We have 7 or 8 on our JV team. You know, and we have a full varsity. We move kids up to the JV game, move kids down to the JV game to get a full JV roster. And other schools similar to us in this Central Maine area doing the same thing. And some of it's specialization of sports for kids. Some of it is we're losing kids at an early age to just doing video games. Or we have a freshman in our program who's 6'4", who has never once played any sport ever. No rec, no little league, nothing. Huh. And this is his first year, and I'm telling you, like, he's going to be, if he sticks with it, he's going to be a varsity athlete in the near future, because he's in the weight room all the time. He's got a great, like, he doesn't have any bad, he catches the ball, he keeps the ball, always keeps it up high, because he doesn't know any better to bring the ball down.
Yeah.
You know, he keeps his arm straight up, because you tell him to, he's not reaching in on the ball.
No bad habits, because he has no habits, period. Yeah,
that's it. It's been really fun. He's kind of Levi Barnes' project. And which is great for all of us, because Levi is a little bit of a mad scientist, so
sure.
That's worked out real well.
Quickly, Drew, is there a game this week that you're kind of looking forward to?
There are two, actually. One of them is going to get, playing Brunswick, which is going to be A South. It's kind of a different look. And then you have the Lawrence game coming up. It's a chance to play them again after that first game. Didn't go your way. Yeah. Interested to see how the second one goes. And then Oak Hill, 7-6. They're fourth in Class B South, but they've lost two of the last three games. Tough losses to Mountaineer and Dirigo, who are having tough seasons in Class C.
Mm-hmm.
They play Halldale, who they beat Halldale for their first loss, and so it'll be interesting to see if they can do that again and kind of get the season back on track. You?
Friday night, it's a interclass game between the Richmond and Rangeley girls. Richmond girls are 12-0 and third in the Class C South right now. Rangeley 11-2, defending Class D state champions, second in D South, so it'll be neat to see how that game kind of shakes out and sets up the end of the regular season heading into the playoffs for two pretty good teams. All right. Drew, thanks for being here. Thanks for braving the conditions to get up here today.
Hey, I'll do it. You know, duty calls, right?
Exactly. And Coach Maines, thanks for coming in. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate it.
All right. For Drew Bonifant, I'm Travis Ozarzik for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. We will see you next time when we do the Center Court Podcast.